Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. This show will first be broadcast on Wednesday, November 26, 2025, on 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician. My co-host Ron Meniza is hanging out with his kid today, which is very cool. We're coming to you live from beautiful Mansfield Hollow, Connecticut. Comment below to let us know you're here and ask questions. You can email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, and Buzzsprout. You may also watch the recorded Facebook Live episode at Fran Storch ND for 30 days, and also on my YouTube channel at Radio Naturopath. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on this show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. So here's health stuff. I went to see the knee doctor, and the knee doctor was an out-of-pocket doctor who did stem cell stuff. It's really cool, and it's really interesting. One of the things they recommended was platelet-rich plasma. Platelet-rich plasma is where they take your own blood, and they spin it down, and they concentrate the platelets and other elements in the plasma, and they re-inject it into you. And when you do that, you have more of your own stem cells in that nourishing solution, and they put it into a body part so that it can regenerate. And so they prep your knee, and then they put the PRP in, and then it can, as my chiropractor says, it will kick down the road the likelihood that you will need a replacement, which is what I'm looking for. I'm trying to not have surgery. So it's very interesting. They are out of pocket, so they're out of my price range for the moment. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to return to my ortho, Dr. Zach, who looked at my knees at UConn a year ago, and talked to him about whether I should get PRP. I'm fortunate now. I still have this bone on bone. Both femurs are touching my patellas. And so what happens to me is I get pain that comes and goes. The other interesting thing that was helpful is when I was with Dr. DeWald, he did an ultrasound on my knee. And nobody had ever done an ultrasound. It only had x-rays on the knees, but no ultrasound. And that's interesting that they do ultrasound, because that's something that's inexpensive. It's easy to do in office. And, you know, you don't need, you can have one in your office, and it's much less consuming than having an MRI. So when he looked inside my knee, he said, your tissues are pretty much intact. It's just that you have no cartilage between your patella and your femurs. But you don't have, your meniscus seems to be intact. So that was exciting. That means I don't need a meniscus repair. The cool thing is I'm wearing a special compression sleeve that has bamboo in it that I'm very happy with. And I got new ones because these compression sleeves, after a while, they get stretched out. They become really comfy cozy. I had another, a hinged brace that I paid for mostly with insurance, and I tend to get discomfort on the medial side of my knee. That's the inside of my knee. The hinge was pressing on that space, and so it hurt me, so I couldn't really wear it. But these compression, if I get the compression right, they're very comfortable, and they make it so I can pretty much function. I'm able to be on the bike for as much as half an hour. I haven't tried to go longer than that, and I probably won't for at least another week because I'm still having this numbness and pressure in the left leg, and that nerve is going to still take a while to heal. And I think I overdid. I did a little bit of yoga, and I think I bent forward too far, and I pulled something. So I still have to be really careful just bending forward with yoga, that these muscles in my back after that surgery, the surgery was already a couple months ago, It's almost 2 months ago that I had the surgery, and those muscles are not entirely healed, and they're a little cranky, so I have to be careful of that. So I'm looking forward. I'm you know, gradually getting better. I'm definitely able to function. I'm able to walk around. I'm able to work and do all the things I need to do. I just have to still be gentle with exercise. It's going to get up into the 50s tomorrow. So because we've been having 20s at night and 40s during the day. Bye bye insects, bye bye ticks. So I may go for a walk tomorrow. And today If I have time, I'll probably get on the trainer and maybe do my PT exercises. And that's it. So PT is going well. I'm able to do all the PT exercises that young Will gives me. And I'm going to get more on Monday where he's going to help to organize. Because he's given me so many exercises. If I were to do them all, it would take almost an hour to do. So I said, and when he handed me more exercises the last time I saw him, I said, Will, you got to give me a day one and day two. So on the days that, so say I do my exercises 3 or 4 times a week on alternating days, I'll do set one of exercises and I'll do set two. And some of the exercises we can repeat and some of them will interchange on those days. That's what I had for when I used to do my weight training. I had a day one and a day two. And I used to only do the weight training twice a week. But the PT exercises I like to do, if I have time, I do it that day. It's not 1 or 2 days a week. It's if I have time, I do it. Today, like I said, today, if I have time, I'll do it. So tomorrow, I'll definitely have time and I'll do it. Monday, I will be with Will. So that counts as my PT, but I'll probably get on the bike before that. I'm going to try to get in the pool at some point and see if I can swim. And see how swimming affects me. I want to try to swim laps and see if that bothers me. So I enjoy swimming. I have my membership at the community center. I can go back there. I'm going to have to put cholesterol in my hair before I get in the pool to protect the, because I have color. I want to keep the color. So Ron's going to walk the Manchester Road Race on Thanksgiving Day. And if you're listening to it, you're listening to this 2 days before, or no, the day before Thanksgiving. So I am going to accompany him, but I have not signed up because I don't think I should try to walk 4 miles, almost 5 miles. I will probably set myself up and hang out and tell a couple of friends that I'm going to be there and where to find me. And then I'll set myself up near the end of the race. And when Ron shows up, I'll accompany him to the end, to the finish line. So that's what I plan to do. And carry hot cocoa with me or something, or go to Silk City and get a treat. So that'll be fun. Anyway, and I'm hoping I'll see sometime my friend Dave Wahlberg. He likes to ride his bike to the Manchester Road Race if the weather is good. And if I tell my friend Gary and he's not busy, he'll be able to come see me too. So shout out to Gary. So that's what's going on there. In terms of my back, I'm still healing. I still have some pressure and numbness in that left leg. I was holding a clipboard so I could write, and it touched my leg and I realized I couldn't feel it very much. So I still have a lot of numbness in that leg. And Dr. DeWald said it's going to, you know, it grows, like your nerve regrows 1 inch a month, something like that. So the nerve is still mad that Dr. Lantner touched it during the surgery. So it's still healing from that. What are you going to do? As far as Ron goes, Ron went to Chicago to see his son, which is great. Good for him. And he's back now, but he's living his life and doing everything he can. He hasn't been on the bike outdoors yet. He hasn't been doing that a lot. I don't know if it's because he's not confident to do that or he feels like he's very weak. He wants to get in the weight room and fix himself. So that's what's going on there. All right, so let's go on and talk about this. This is your companion while you're fixing stuff for Thanksgiving, because if you're listening to this live, if you're listening to it on the day before Thanksgiving, we're broadcasting from WHUS at 10 a.m. on the 26th. So perhaps you're starting to prepare things. Preparing your Thanksgiving dinner, or you're preparing your side dish that you're going to bring to wherever you're going to go. So that was what this was intended to be. So I like to make my day before Thanksgiving show a little bit light, a little bit cheery. We don't talk about anything too intense, and we talk about food. So before I talk about food, let's talk about water. One of the things I've been noticing is that it's becoming more of an issue to hydrate. And this time of year, when you're transitioning, we went very quickly, it seems, from wearing shorts to, as you can see, I'm in a cute sort of heavy t-shirt or light sweatshirt. It says, "Let peace shine." I I found this. I hadn't worn it in a long time. I'm like, oh, look at that. I should put this on. And so we went very quickly from running around in shorts to needing to, you know, put the flannel sheets down, which I'm going to do for the first time today. My goodness. And it just didn't take long at all. And so one of the other things that happens is you don't feel like drinking as much, but that doesn't mean that you don't need to hydrate. So you have to remember to drink. Let's do it together. Here, l'chaim. I always have a water glass with me when I'm, well, I always have water on hand. I try to always have water on hand wherever I am. And sometimes I have electrolytes in it. Sometimes I don't. I was doing a lot of electrolytes and I didn't know if it was affecting my heart rhythm because I have a little bit of PACs, premature atrial contractions. And I wondered if I was overdoing it because I was intaking a lot of potassium. So I backed off on the electrolytes. Now I only do the electrolytes if I'm exercising and also if I'm feeling lightheaded, like I'm not hydrated. I get intermittently lightheaded and I don't always know what that's from, if that's from chronic Lyme or if that's from dehydration or from being tired. Today I am not lightheaded. Today I feel pretty good. And I find that if I'm feeling like that, the first thing to do is to try to hydrate. And my favorite things to do are I have an electrolyte compound that doesn't have a lot of sodium in it. It has a little bit of sodium, but it has more potassium in it and a few other minerals. And I put that in my water. And if I feel better after I drink that, then I know I was simply dehydrated. Or whatever reason I'm not feeling well, it can be managed with extra hydration. So I like my everyday electrolyte that has low salt in it. You can make an everyday electrolyte with low salt by putting a splash of fruit juice and a pinch of salt into some water, and there's your electrolyte. You make woos. And so shout out to Mamo, Diane Marion, for teaching me that word. Woos is water and juice. It's a portmanteau of water and juice. And I'm grateful to her for teaching that to me. It's hilarious. So make sure to drink that. If you find that you pick up your water glass and you take a sip and you're like, because some people say to me, I don't like the taste of water. And I wonder if they don't like the taste of water because the water source that they're getting, maybe they're drinking city water and it definitely does taste bad. Or if they just don't like water or the whatever water source they're getting, it doesn't taste bad. My water tastes very good because we are blessed to have a 200-foot well off our house, and it must have just the right mineral content because it tastes very good. Ron does have to filter it before it comes into the house, but I don't think it takes all the waters out because it definitely doesn't taste flat. It tastes really good, so I'm very happy to drink our water. There's a certain brand of water that my PCP, who considers himself a bit of a functional medicine doctor, told me to purchase. So I don't buy water. Most of the time I don't buy water because I like to carry the water from our house. But if I'm out, when I go to the drugstore to get my med, which I have to do at least once a month, I look around the drugstore, see if there's anything I want, and you get deals at the drugstore. So I bought that brand of water, and it definitely does taste pretty good. I don't recommend buying bottled water because if you have a good water source, it's better to drink the water out of your tap. And if you don't like the water of your tap, you can filter it. There's different ways to filter it, like reverse osmosis. You can use an over-the-counter charcoal filter. Or if you have a good well, make sure it's filtered at the source and then drink that water. But if you, for whatever reason, you want to drink bottled water, I recommend getting what I would call live water, something like the one that comes from the South Pacific. There are also waters you can buy that come from glaciers. And I remember the first time I had glacier water, they sell it in the supermarket in Canada. When I lived in Canada, I would get water from glaciers, and for some reason it was really good. You know, it's ancient water. Again, it's all about the minerals. It's got the right mineral content and it tastes good and it feels really good going down. The other water I've had that's really wonderful, I don't know if I've seen it in Connecticut or in New England. I bought it in New Jersey and for whatever reason, the distributors there have it, but it's volcano water. It's water that comes from lava beds. And so it's been filtered by lava. And that was really good too. So again, when you find that, ooh, this water is really good, it's just plain water and you really like it, it's about the mineral content. So get a water that makes you happy. If you have to buy it, buy it. Otherwise, find a way to make friends with the water that comes out of your tap and drink that. If you have a hundreds of feet deep well, probably it tastes good. And if it doesn't, you don't have the right filter on it. We are very fortunate that we have the right filter on it. I'm very happy with it. So don't forget to drink. Again, I will tell you that my friend Evan Johnson, who is now, he lives in Texas now. Anyway, he lives in the Southwest somewhere. And he is a kinesiologist and exercise science professor. And he would talk to me, he trained me for a little while, and he would say to me, hydrate or die, which is very funny. And he would talk to me about how there are studies done where when you can taste carbohydrate in water, you're more likely to drink it. So if you're not drinking your water because you take it, you take a sip and you're like, meh, you may have to put something in it. And that's where the electrolytes come in. That's where the splash of fruit juice comes in. And I also will make herbal tea, and you can do herbal tea hot or cold or room temperature. And I read Susan Weed. So Susan Weed is a master herbalist extraordinaire. And she's been practicing for many, many years. I think she's in her 80s now. And I read her Facebook. And what's really great is if you go on Facebook and you look at Susan and you sign up to follow Susan Weed, she gives you lots and lots of information. And she has, there's all kinds of herbal information that she gives you periodically. She'll write on her Facebook and he'll talk about it. One of the big things that she talks about is nourishing herbal infusions. So when she wants you to make nourishing herbal infusions, she wants you to take an ounce of whatever plant you're going to use. And she wants you to boil the water and let it sit for 4 hours. So if it's an infusion, that means first you boil the water, then you put it in a container, glass or ceramic. Of course, if you put in boiling water into glass, you have to make sure that it's tempered glass, that it's a kind of glass that can stand it. So you have to, you need like a Pyrex measuring glass, or you need ceramic, something like that. You can't just pour it into a glass because it will break. So I learned that the hard way when I was heating up water for my lime herbs, and I poured it into an ordinary bottle and I destroyed a bottle that way. It was very sad because I really liked the bottle. So yeah, you have to put it into a kind of glass that can withstand heat, or you pour it into ceramic. And then you let it sit for 4 hours. So I don't always have the time or patience to do that. So I tend to cold brew. And she has some favorite herbs that she recommends that are very nourishing. Now, mind you, when you drink this tea, it's going to taste pretty green and grassy. So the herbs she recommends that are really nourishing are nettles and linden. Let's talk about nettles for a second. Nettles is great because I had a patient with MCAS, mast cell activation syndrome, where you have a lot of sensitivity to histamine. And she said, I can't take nettles because it has histamine in it. I don't think nettles has histamine in it, but it causes a histaminic reaction. But it only does that when it's fresh. When it's fresh, it has those little stingers in it, and the stingers go into your skin. And they contain formic acid, which is the acid that ants have in their bite. Well, not all ants have it, but a lot of ants have formic acid when they bite you. Like if you get those little house ants on you and you accidentally smush one and then you smell it, it smells like formic acid. And then it goes away. It dissipates very quickly. So nettles, when they sting you, they have formic acid in them. That's why you get the little bumps. As soon as you take nettles and put it into heat, or the nettles that have been processed so that you can drink it as tea, there's no formic acid in it. You wouldn't be able to drink it if there was. Your mouth and your throat would explode. So you never touch nettles when it's fresh, and you never eat nettles when it's fresh. But as soon as it goes into hot water, it's done. All the stinger comes out. The formic acid dissipates immediately. It's not very stable. It evaporates away, and now it's like a super nourishing herb. So when you get tea bags, there's no formic acid in it. And I mean, you could open the tea bag and eat it and it would be fine. When I was with Susan Weed at an herbal weekend, she was making soup and she put nettles and comfrey and probably red clover and a bunch of other herbs into the soup, and she fed it to me and no problem. So when you drink nettle tea, it tastes pretty green, tastes pretty grassy, but it is very nourishing. Nettles is like nature's multivitamin and mineral. It has a lot of vitamins and minerals in it. If you drink nettle tea regularly, you may not need to take a multivitamin. It also happens to have compounds in it that are antihistaminic. So we recommend nettles when you have allergies, you know, when you have respiratory allergies or asthma. It's something that you can take. If you take nettles regularly, you may have less allergy symptoms. I have what I would consider half a cup of nettle tea every day, and I'm going to try to drink more. And I say half a cup because I cold brew the nettles with Tulsi, and that's where, and I add collagen and my nitric oxide compound to it, and I drink that and I take my supplements at night. So, and I put it in 16 ounces of water and I drink half of it a day. So I have at least half a cup of nettle tea every day. So I'm going to try to get into the habit of doing the nourishing herbal infusion thing a la Susan Weed. So she talks about nettles. She talks about adding oat straw, another mineral rich. It's mineral rich and calming. It's considered to be a nervine. Nettles isn't so much considered to be a nervine, but oat straw definitely is. And oat straw is one of the herbs we consider when you want to get minerals to help your hair, skin, and nails. That's one of the things that we put in. So when we talk about oat straw, it's the same plant as your rolled oats, but it's the straw instead of the seeds. And so the straw has a lot of nutrients in it. And then she loves linden. She's a big fan of linden. I think she likes linden more than she likes echinacea. And linden is much gentler in terms of like echinacea. When you take echinacea, you have that that prickly sensation that happens in your mouth when you take it. And linden doesn't have any of that. Linden is a very calming nerving. It kind of tastes like chamomile. Chamomile has slight pineapple notes because one of the essential acids in chamomile is related to pineapple. And linden tastes kind of like that flowery taste. Doesn't have the pineapple notes, though. It's very gentle and very sweet, but it's a powerful anti-inflammatory and nerving, and it's great for your heart health. It can help to lower blood pressure. So that's one of the other things she likes to put in the nourishing herbal infusion. And another one she likes is comfrey. So comfrey is one of my favorite plants. People are afraid of comfrey because years ago, somebody ate too much when they already had liver disease, and the pyrrolidinal alkaloids got them. But if you have some comfrey leaf, it's not going to do that to you. And the other one she really likes is red clover. And red clover is really nice if you're perimenopausal because it has genistein and diazin in it. It has phytosterols that help you that are phytoestrogenic, and they will help to stimulate estrogen receptors so you have less menopausal symptoms. And red clover is also extremely nourishing. Be careful. It's a good idea to be careful with red clover because it has coumarins in it. And if you think coumarins are related to coumadin, you would be right. So if you have issues, if you're already taking a blood thinner, you might want to skip the red clover. But if you're not, probably fine. And if you have cardiovascular disease and you're not taking aspirin and you're not taking any kind of a blood thinner, you can put the red clover in. And I may start doing that as well. But right now, I'm just to make it easy on myself, I'm just cold brewing because, you know, I'm not around the house a lot. I'm just running from here to there and running a business and stuff. So it's easy for me to stick the tea bags in, cold brew it overnight, and now I have my infusion. So it's slower than doing it with heat, but you know, I still get some benefit from it. And so I'm going to try to start drinking that. So if you do nourishing herbal infusions, Susan Weed is not a fan of plain water. She thinks that you shouldn't even drink plain water, that it's much better to consume water with stuff in it. And if you do nourishing herbal infusions and you don't sweeten it, that's a great way to get water in, and you might be more inclined to drink it because you're tasting something in it. Now, if you do something like what I said, say you're going to do nettles, oat straw, And another one you could do is alfalfa. Alfalfa also has those phytoestrogens and is another one of nature's multivitamins. So if you're going to do nettles and old straw and linden and red clover or maybe comfrey, maybe alfalfa or some combo of any of those, it's going to taste pretty green. So you might want to throw something in it for it to taste a little less green. You could throw lemon into it, and you could throw in, I'm thinking of going and getting some rose hips, and rose hips will give it some sour note and will give me some vitamin C. So I'm going to see if they have dried rose hips at the Willy Co-op. I don't know if they do, or I can order some. But I used to, when I was in naturopathic college, I would make a tea and I would put in alfalfa and eleuthero and I think nettles and rose hips. And I'm not sure if I put something else in it too. So anyway, so if you're doing a nourishing herbal infusion, you're going to get some nutrition and you might want to drink it. And if you want it to be a little bit sweet, you could, if you're making it, if you heat the water first, you can put honey in it. If you put honey in it and it's cold, honey won't melt. But if you boil the water first and you put the honey in while the water's still warm, then the honey will become part, it'll dissolve and it'll be a little bit sweet. So you could do honey, you could do maple syrup, you could do like a pinch of stevia if you wanted to. And if you needed to do that, you could also throw cinnamon into it, cinnamon or ginger powder. Because once you start doing the roots of those things or the bark, then you really do have to boil it. You actually have to boil roots and bark for it to be part of whatever you're consuming. So those are things that you can drink instead of plain water that don't have caffeine in them. Of course, you can always do caffeinated beverages. You can do some coffee. You can do green or black tea. If you want to keep your caffeine to a minimum, then doing the herbal teas can be really great. And it's a great way to get nutrition in while you're getting your water in, and you might find you're more inclined to drink it. I know that it's much easier for me to drink 8 ounces of tea than it is for me to drink water. The water kind of sits and I sip on it, and you know, I don't glug it down unless I'm very hot, which doesn't happen as much this time of year because I'm not sweating a lot. And I haven't been doing a lot of cardio because it requires me to use my leg and my back, and I'm not ready to do that yet. I have to be gentle with the exercise that I'm doing. So and it's cold outside right now. So anyway, so make sure you drink. It's a really good idea to drink, and you may get dehydrated. You may be like, I feel tired and I feel lightheaded and I don't know why. It may be that you're dehydrated. Other things that you can grab, like if you're out and you want to grab something, if you can find watermelon water, I highly recommend it. Watermelon water, I find if I'm a little off and I sip on some watermelon water, I feel better almost instantly. And I like it better. I think it works better for me, and I like it better than coconut water. I used to be a big fan of coconut water. Coconut water also helps, but I find coconut water to be very sweet. If coconut water works for you, that's great. And another way to handle the coconut water would be to, that's something you could do. You could take your nettle tea, your nourishing herbal infusion, and to make it sweet, you could splash in some watermelon water or coconut water, and that would make it sweet if you wanted it to be a little bit sweet. That would be a way to do it. And the other thing to do with coconut water is just to dilute it. You know, if you don't like how sweet it is, do 3/4 to 1/4 coconut water. And coconut water is very nourishing and it's very hydrating and it can be really helpful. So please don't forget to hydrate. And I hope if you're making some food right now that you've got a cup of tea going, or that you've got something in a mug that you're sipping on while you're doing your work, whatever it is, whether it's coffee or tea or hot cocoa or some kind of a nourishing herbal infusion. So I recommend that if you're making food right now, go make yourself a cup of tea, and you can have the tea because you're preparing stuff anyway. You could boil some water and make some tea and drink it while you're doing whatever you're doing. So there you go. All right, so let's talk about some Thanksgiving foods and recipes. Almost every year you hear me talk about the Three Sisters, and I really like to make and eat the Three Sisters. So it's Three Sisters stew, and it's a traditional Aboriginal First Nation dish. And the Three Sisters, it's called Three Sisters because it has the three basic components to it are corn, squash, and beans. They are planted together so the plants can support each other. And many First Nation communities, including the Chickasaw, which is what I'm reading from here, make Three Sisters. And so they call them the Three Sisters because they grow together well. And they're usually planted together in late May or early June. And the Chickasaw used to build small mounds 2 feet apart at the base and 4 feet apart at the top. And in the center of each, they put in a few corn kernels in a small circle. After the corn grew about a hand high, they plant pole beans in another circle in the mound, 6 ounces outside the corn. And a week later, squash seeds were planted around the outer edge. And the beans grew up the corn stalks, which were strong enough to hold the weight, and the squash grew out and covered the ground, keeping the weeds and keeping in moisture. This is very clever. So that was a Chickasaw tradition. So here's a stew that, this is a recipe. These are the basic things that go into the stew. They do add onions to it. So I can't do onions, but I can do very dehydrated onions. So I can handle everything bagel seasoning. So I will use that as a seasoning instead of putting in fresh onions, unfortunately. Now, Ron loves onions, and anybody I make this for can handle onions, but I can't handle onions and garlic. But I can handle the everything bagel seasoning, which, you know, everything bagel seasoning has a little onion and garlic and salt and sesame seed. And I'm not sure if it has black pepper in it. It has a lot of different things in it. And it's well dehydrated. And because it's been treated so much, my stomach can handle it better. So you put in the onions, if you're going to do that, or your seasoning, whatever you're going to do. You can throw in tomatoes with no salt, so canned tomatoes. You can put in potatoes. You can put in a can of tomato sauce, some frozen corn, get organic. It's a good idea. Yellow squash diced. And then a can of light red kidney beans and 1 can black-eyed peas and a little bit of barley and some garlic and black pepper. And that goes into a pot. And now you have this great stew, this great bean stew. When I have made it, I have just cooked up the beans. I baked the squash and I steam the corn and I heat the beans and I heat them all together. And I don't do much more than that. So it's not really in water. It's just a composition of those three things. And it works out really nicely. But this one is more of a stew where you have an additional tomatoes and some barley. You have a grain as well. And I wouldn't put barley in because Ron won't be able to eat it because barley has gluten in it. Well, technically it has, let's see. So rye has hordein. And barley, whatever the Latin name for barley is, that it's not actually called gluten. It's gluten is what's in wheat. Hordein is in rye, and the other compound is in barley. But they are all related to gluten. And if you're gluten intolerant, you can't have any of them. So I wouldn't put barley in this, but I might put rice or quinoa in it, and that would work. So that's your Three Sisters stew. And that's a yummy thing that you can make. And it's pretty easy. You don't have to fuss about it. You can put all three in a pot with a little bit of water and stir them together. And you can get canned beans of whatever kind you like. I prefer black. And you can get frozen corn. I prefer organic. And then I would bake a squash, whatever kind of squash you like, whether you want to use a summer squash or a winter squash. This time of year, I probably use a winter squash. And I would cook it so it's not too soft. And then I would dice it and then stir it in and then put the seasonings in and off you go. So that's something you can do. And it's a really nice side dish. It's very seasonal. It's colorful. It's fun. And it's really good. And it's really good for you. And it has a lot of fiber. So if you eat a lot, then you're not going to get stuck with all the food that you ate because of all the fiber. All right. And then there's cranberry sauce. So cranberry sauce is really easy to make at home. If you really like, when I was a kid, we would get that canned jellied cranberry sauce. It's really classic. And I don't mind it. But homemade cranberry sauce is really easy to make. You don't have to do very much with it. So homemade cranberry sauce, there's really nothing to it. So when you make cranberry sauce, all you basically have to do is you get a package of frozen cranberries, preferably organic. You can throw in maple syrup or sugar if you want to. If you want to, you can put in orange juice, or you can take an orange and juice it and throw the juice of the orange in. And you can stir in orange or lemon zest. If you use zest, please use an organic fruit, because there could be pesticides on the skin of the fruit if it's not organic. And you could put in chopped pecans if you want to, but you really don't need to do that. I think when you have cranberry sauce, you want it to be about the cranberries, because one of the reasons you eat the cranberry sauce is because turkey, it's one of the things that helps to make the turkey less dry. People like to make gravy. I'm not a huge gravy fan, but I do love cranberry sauce, and cranberry sauce is something that's, it's a great counterpoint to all of the savory flavors that are on your plate. And you can put apples into the cranberry sauce too, if you want to. So, it's really, the cranberry sauce is just so easy. Just cranberries. If you want to use a little juice, you can, some maple syrup. If you want to put in a citrusy element, you can. And making it from scratch is not a big deal. You just put them together and you boil it until it's the texture of cranberry sauce. And you can absolutely make it ahead of time, and then you can freeze it, and you can use it for other things after it's done. There's a lot of ways to use it. You can put it into yogurt or over oatmeal. You can put it in a cocktail. You can bake cranberry brie bites. You can make cranberry crumble, or you can make crumble, say an apple crumble or a berry crumble, and throw the cranberry sauce into it. And you can absolutely use frozen cranberries. And cranberries have a lot of pectin on their own. That's why when you boil them, the cranberry sauce gets thick without you having to add any pectin or anything in it. There's a lot of pectin in cranberry sauce, so that's very good. The pectin is very good for you. It's very detoxifying, and it's a fiber that will help you with regularity. It's really good for you. And once you cool and chill the sauce in the fridge, it's gonna firm up more. And you know, you generally serve it cold. And so you all you need is like 12 ounces of cranberries, 1 cup of orange or cranberry juice, 1 cup of pure maple syrup, get real maple syrup, and then a little bit of orange zest if you want to do that. And you basically boil it until it's cranberry sauce. You know, you heat it on high until it boils, and then put it down to medium low and cook it for about 10 minutes, and you have cranberry sauce. It's so easy. So if you're afraid to make cranberry sauce, don't be. It's so easy. It's so delicious, and you can make extra, and you'll have extra for a while. And then just think of other ways to use it, because I'm guilty of making the cranberry sauce and then having extra and not using it, and then I find dead cranberry sauce in the fridge later. But it's so good. I mean, you could have it on ice cream. And the big thing that I should do, because I love to have fruit crumbles, and I'm planning to make an apple one very soon. So it goes very nicely in a fruit crumble. So, all right. So here is a roasted cauliflower recipe, which is lovely. So cauliflower, I'm not that excited about plain cauliflower, but cauliflower is so mild that you can season it a lot of ways, and it will take on the flavor of whatever you season it with. So it's a great vegetable side dish, and you can make it taste really, really great by giving it some good seasonings. So you cut it into florets. You can make crispy roasted cauliflower if you want to. And if you roasted it 425 degrees, the cauliflower will crisp up. But I would want to put something on it. So here's a recipe. It includes cauliflower, olive oil, butter, salt, and pepper. You can use Parmesan cheese, and if you want, you can use real Parmesan cheese, or you can get blocks of fake Parmesan cheese. If you're dairy intolerant, there's a company that makes blocks of Parmesan cheese that you can grate that are non-dairy, that taste like Parmesan cheese. And it's surprising how good non-dairy Parmesan cheese tastes, because it's easy to get something to be full of lactic acid. And and have it kind of taste like cheese. They've really gotten the technology of non-dairy cheese down. And so you can get it and grate it. And you can also use, if you want to use parsley over it, and there's any seasoning. Another thing you can do with cauliflower is you can use this recipe and put barbecue sauce over it and roast it with that. But that doesn't really fit. That's a flavor profile I wouldn't do with a Thanksgiving turkey dinner. But olive oil and salt and pepper, you could definitely get away with. And that Parmesan cheese or fake Parmesan cheese definitely would go with your Thanksgiving dinner. So and it's easy to do, because all you do is you cut the cauliflower into florets and you put it on a sheet tray, drizzle with olive oil, sprinkle with a little salt and pepper. If you want to do other seasonings, you can. If you want to do that, I mean, really, everything bagel seasoning is so versatile. And if you don't feel like spending the time to cut up your onions and garlic, I recommend doing that if you have the time and inclination. But if you're too busy, everything bagel seasoning is so great. It makes things savory. And some people like me who are sensitive to onions and garlic, I can handle it because it's been so cooked down. And it just makes things very flavorful, fast and easy. So there's that. You can make vegan pumpkin risotto. This sounded really good. This is something I'm going to have to try to make or get Ron to make. And you don't use any dairy in it. Usually with risotto, you're using real butter. So let's see what she does with this. So the ingredients of the pumpkin risotto are olive oil and onion. Again, you can use the everything bagel seasoning. Then you need, of course, arborio rice, which is that rice. It's very sticky, and it takes on, when you cook arborio rice, it really takes up the fat very nicely to make it into risotto. And you put in a cup of dry white wine and a little bit of vegetable broth, and use low sodium. And you can put in some sage leaves, and you add pumpkin puree and the little nutritional yeast that's going to give it that lactic acid cheesy taste. You could use the nutritional yeast. You could also use fake Parmesan cheese if you wanted to. Parmesan cheese you can get Parmesan cheese that's non-dairy that you grate. You can also get pre-grated shaky Parmesan cheese. Those are available at the store. I'm going to see if I can find some at the co-op today. I have some at home right now. I couldn't find it at the supermarket yesterday. I was disappointed. I'm going to see if they have it at the Willie Co-op today. So all you do is you heat up the oil, you add your seasoning, you add the rice, and it looks like you don't add any water to it. It's just olive oil, and you add the rice and you stir to coat, and then you add wine. So that's your liquid. You're not using water, you're using wine. And then you put in, and you also use vegetable broth. And then you can heat the remaining 2 tablespoons of oil in a skillet, and you add sage and you cook it, and you add in pumpkin puree and the nutritional yeast or your fake Parmesan cheese, your non-dairy Parmesan cheese. And then you combine it and you serve it warm, and you can do crispy sage on top of it, or you could do cracked pepper. So that sounds really yummy. Pumpkin risotto sounds like an exciting thing. So I may have to try that as well. All right, and then you can make pumpkin brownies. Oh, Lord. So pumpkin brownies can be made glutinous or gluten-free. And the ingredients, so you can change the ingredients to gluten-free ones if you want to, because you can get King Arthur flour and it's 1-to-1. If your recipe calls for flour, you can use any 1-to-1 gluten-free flour and it will work. So you can, if you want to sweeten the batter, you can use what you want. You can use sugar. If you're going to use straight up sugar, I would recommend using demerara or using some kind of a more naturally based sugar, an organic sugar that hasn't been bleached and maybe still has some molasses in it. So demerara would work. Coconut sugar would work. I like to use evaporated cane juice in baking. Evaporated cane juice is where they take the sugar cane and they juice it and they let the water evaporate and that's it. And it's not granulated. I mean, it is granules, but it's not even granules. It's just dehydrated cane juice. And it works very nicely in baked goods. And it would work very nicely in brownies. You use all-purpose flour, and the all-purpose flour can be gluten-free or not. And then you use baking cocoa, and better to get organic, and better to get non-alkalized. And it should be a bittersweet powder, and some baking soda. They want you to use coconut oil. I'm sorry, not coconut. They say canola oil. I don't recommend using canola oil because canola oil is polyunsaturated, and when it heats, I'm afraid that it's going to hydrogenate and it's going to cause oxidative stress. So I think it's better to use, if you're going to bake, it's better to use some coconut oil because coconut oil will, it won't deteriorate because it's a saturated fat. And then you put in eggs and you put in vanilla and use pumpkin pie spice. And you get your canned pumpkin, which you can find organic. And canned pumpkin is just such a useful thing because you can make that risotto we talked about and you can put it in the brownies. So these brownies are going to have both pumpkin and chocolate in them. And I love that combination, pumpkin and chocolate. So I've had pumpkin chocolate chip bread. I've had pumpkin chocolate chip muffins, pumpkin chocolate chip cookies. They're wonderful because the combination of pumpkin pie, pumpkin spice with the cinnamon and cloves and allspice counterpointed with the chocolate is amazing. I love that. So you get a recipe for pumpkin brownies, it says pumpkin, but they're pumpkin chocolate brownies. And if you want to throw in chocolate chips, you could do that too. But I would get some good quality organic chocolate chips if I was going to do that. You can make spiced tea poached pears. How about that? That sounds wonderful. There's so many things to make. I just don't know which ones I would want to do. All right. So water. It's water and sugar and the cranberry sauce that you made already. And a little bit of honey. And you actually use black tea bags. And you make a sauce, you could use creme fraiche or sour cream. If you are dairy intolerant, I recommend getting a really high quality, unflavored, dairy-free yogurt and get one that's kind of thick. There's a couple of brands that I could recommend, which I don't want to recommend because we're community radio. And you add confectioner's sugar and some orange zest, and now you have a sauce for your pears. Amazing. And so you stir these things together. So there's a great recipe here for all of that. So look that up, spiced pears with tea. And there's actually tea in it. And tea is a great thing. It's a nice bitter note to counteract the sweetness of whatever it is you're making. I love tea with honey because I like that interplay of bitter and sweet. I mean, that's my favorite thing. If I'm going to drink a cup of hot tea, my favorite thing is a good quality black tea with honey in it. And I'm kind of a tea snob. I can't get your average pedestrian brand of tea. I have to get something that's really high quality. And I just have to be careful because a full caffeine black tea will send me racing. So I have some decaf, some good quality decaf teas that aren't too bad. All right. And then here's your apple crumble, which I'm about to make. Apple crumble, and you can make apple crumble very easily. So you make an apple crumble. So crumble and crisp are similar. Apple crumble has oats, flour, brown sugar, and butter in it. And when I make it, I definitely use the oats. Sometimes I'll use flour, and sometimes I won't. Instead of flour, I'll use chia seeds. And the crumble will not stick together as well. The streusel won't stick together as well if you don't use flour. But sometimes you don't want to use flour. And there's a young woman, Michelle, at the farmer's market, and she makes a beautiful blueberry crumble. She doesn't use any flour. She just uses chia seeds and oats and coconut oil and maple syrup, and that's her crumble, and that's it. And I maybe cinnamon. So you can do that if you want to. But if you put flour, gluten-free flour into it, the crumble's going to hold together better. So those crumble, and then you have to use a fat, and you can use butter, real butter, or you can use a non-dairy butter substitute, as long as it has no hydrogenated oil in it, or you can use gluten-free, or you can use coconut oil. Any of those would work. And then when you're baking, Granny Smith is ideal because it holds together well. You can also get Mutsu apples, which are also sour and green. So you can use Jana Gold Honey Crisp or Pink Lady. I tend to use the more sour apples when I'm baking. So my favorite is to use Granny Smith. And if I can find the others, I will do that. If I can find a Mutsu, you can't always get Mutsu. But Granny Smith, you can generally find at the grocery store, and we can find it at the co-op. When you do sugar, again, you can use sugar if you want to, but you know, you might consider coconut sugar or evaporated cane juice, or just using maple syrup. And if you use maple syrup, it's going to be healthier for you than if you used straight up sugar. And then put a lot of cinnamon into it. You can put ginger into it as well. I hadn't thought of that, putting ginger into my apple crumble. That's a great idea. I think I'm going to do that next time I make it. So I'm in a place where I'm trying to cut my sugar. So if you're trying to make it a little less lower glycemic, you can use coconut sugar or you can use the maple syrup, and then put a lot of cinnamon in, because cinnamon helps to regulate blood sugar. And cinnamon will also make it taste sweet, and it makes it smell really good when it's baking. Apples and cinnamon together, my goodness, that's the smell of the season. It's really delightful. And you can put in lemon juice too, which that I haven't done. To use lemons, because that's going to add some sourness. And when you're making something pretty sweet, when you counteract it with something sour, that's a nice flavor profile. And you can always put ice cream on top of it if you want to. And depending on whether you're dairy intolerant or not, you can certainly get dairy-free vanilla ice cream. There are some good brands of that. And you can certainly get a premium vanilla ice cream to put on top. And it's really easy to make. If you're not very talented, you don't feel like you're very talented at baking. I'm not super confident when it comes to the things I make. And I'm also impatient, and I need a lot of rest because I'm busy. And crumbles are so easy to make. And I highly recommend them, because when you make a crumble, you're getting fruit. You're getting a little bit sweet. You're going to put cinnamon into it, and cinnamon, which is great for your blood sugar, ginger, which is a wonderful anti-inflammatory. They are also both warming, which is great this time of year. You're putting in oats. You can put in chia seeds if you want to, or flax seeds. And that means that this dessert has a lot of fiber in it. So if you haven't had a lot of fiber the rest of the day, this is going to get you your fiber. And so be prepared to have a healthfully working GI system when you have a crumble, and you just bake it. I tend to bake a crumble, probably, it depends. I set the timer for, I put it on it, like, let's see what she says to bake it at. I usually put it at around 400 degrees, or maybe 300 degrees. Let me see what she says. She says 350. So you're baking it a little lower. So you set the oven to 350. And then I set the timer for 30 minutes, and I check it at 30 minutes and see how it is. And then I just keep checking it. It usually takes 40 to 45 minutes total, but depending on the day and depending on whatever, it may not. So I like to keep checking it. And you know, the way that you have to check it is you have to taste it. So, you know, what are you going to do? So it's really easy to make. And if you were thinking of bring something delicious to your gathering, or making something delicious to for your gathering, you can certainly do that. All right. So I'm trying to find hot teas that I like also. And I discovered a brand that you can get easily at your health food store. It's just turmeric and ginger. And I made hot turmeric ginger tea. I put in honey and I put in cinnamon to it, and that's my tea, and that's it. So it's like having chai tea, but I don't put any milk in it. I don't put any, I put just enough honey to make it taste kind of sweet and to bring out the flavor of the cinnamon. And it's a wonderful warming tea. It's like having golden milk without the milk. And it's very good. It's great for this time of year. I find that I drink it right now. It's another thing you can drink, you can sip on if you're not being good about drinking your water. Notice I haven't drunk most of this water. I've drunk only a third of the water glass. We're working on it. So I really recommend that as well. Finding herbal teas that don't have caffeine in them, that are something you might enjoy drinking and that are good for this time of year. And we already talked about the nettles, the nourishing teas, but the turmeric and ginger is great anti-inflammatory, but also tastes really good and it's comforting. So you might want to try that. You certainly can make golden milk tea too, and you can make it with dairy or with a non-dairy milk. I like to use coconut milk, and you can make it really easy by heating up the coconut milk and then steeping a tea bag of turmeric and ginger and adding cinnamon to it and honey, and steep it in the milk instead of in water, and now you have your turmeric ginger golden milk. You can also stir turmeric, cinnamon, and ginger into coconut milk and make it that way. You can also get pre-made prepared golden milk powders and gels that you can put into whatever dairy or dairy substitute you're going to use, and then a little bit of cinnamon and off you go. So that's an easy way to do it. So it's preparations, powders or gels that are meant to be made into golden milk, and that makes it really easy to do. And that's a really great thing when it's cold out, and it's, you find that, wow, where have you been? Because you've been having, you know, like I said, a month and a half ago, we were running around in shorts, and now all of a sudden it's cold and it's kind of a shock. So, and you're consuming things that you haven't consumed in a year or not in a year, but since maybe March. And all of a sudden when you have it, it just feels so good. It's really nice. So I recommend that. All right, so I think that we're good, that I've given you some things to think about, and I hope that your Thanksgiving is terrific and that you enjoy it and that you do some wonderful things, that you get to spend good times with friends and family, or you get to do a non-traditional Thanksgiving where you go to a restaurant or you go see a movie, or if you do something to serve the community, like go work in a soup kitchen, and that's a wonderful thing to do on Thanksgiving as well, to help people who wouldn't otherwise get a Thanksgiving dinner, help to serve them Thanksgiving dinner, and that's a great way to spend Thanksgiving. So joy to all of you. I hope you're having fun. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. I hope this is a wonderful start to your holiday season, and I am going to let you go at this point. You have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician. You can email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, Buzzsprout, and YouTube. You may also watch the recorded Facebook Live episode at Fran Storch, ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of the station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS stores, and WHUS.org.